WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this, what I like to call Friday Eve. That's right. It is Thursday, May 11th, 2017, and we, as always, have a great hour of sports talk in store for all of you out there right here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. On today's Current Sports, we will provide an update, of course, on the NBA and NHL playoffs, and we'll have friendly banter concerning those two postseasons. Who has the better playoffs, the NHL or the NBA? We'll tackle that question. Also, CBS Sports has come out with a ranking of the Power Five conferences' best college football coaches. Find out where Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the MSU football team, and Jim Harbaugh, head coach of the U of M football team, find out where both of those men rank and did they get it right. And we will also invite live here to Studio S a dear friend of the show, Joanne Gerstner, professor here at Michigan State University, sports columnist, and co-author of Back in the Game, Why Concussion Doesn't Have to End Your Athletic Career. Joanne will tackle summer youth sports, and she will dive into why, oh, why are summer youth sports not as tightly regulated when it comes to monitoring concussions. We'll talk that and more with Joanne. And on the back end of the show, you know it's Thursday, so you know we love to hop into our current sports time machine to take a look at exactly what occurred, I should say, on this particular date in sports history. What took place on this day, May 11th, in sports history? You don't want to miss that. And we will finally get to, of course, the Plaxico Burress Players Tribune article that has everyone talking. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR underscore sports. Let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, this is cool news, folks. Coming from the world of Mid-Michigan high school basketball, Holt High School has announced Darren Zwick as its new boys basketball coach, replacing the retired Matt Essel, who we had on Current Sports not too long ago to talk about his decision to walk away from that position. Of course, trying to spend more time with his family, right? Zwick coached at Lansing Catholic for 12 seasons, leading the Cougars to a Class B state title back in 08. The past 2 years, he has worked in Florida. Holt had a 19-5 season record this past winter. Zwick is a Holt High School graduate. Very cool stuff, and we hope to have Coach Zwick on the show next week. We'll keep you posted on that. Michigan State President Luana K. Simon issued a video late Wednesday afternoon addressing the separate sexual assault cases involving former university doctor Larry Nassar and three unnamed Spartan football players. Simon also used the video to unveil the university's new website to help inform and update the community. MSU launched the website www.msu.edu/ourcommitment. That Simon says is meant to give updates on the Nassar case and the football player investigations, as well as the university's work to, quote, combat sexual assault, improve patient care and safety, and protect youth on campus, end quote. Former Stevensville Lakeshore star Braden Burke announced via Twitter on Wednesday night that he plans to return to his home state as a preferred walk-on at Michigan State University after spending one season in Robert Morris suburban Pittsburgh. How about that? Another addition for Tom Izzo and the MSU men's basketball team. The 6'11", yes, knocking on the door of 7 feet, 220-pound center, averaged 4.3 points, 2.7 boards, and over 15.2 minutes per game for the Colonials last season as a true freshman. He started 7 of the 32 contests in which he played, so not a lot of games in which he played in, or I should say even started in, shooting 42.4% from the field. After sitting out next season, per NCAA transfer rules, Burke will have 3 seasons of eligibility remaining. Get this. I love this story. With a third-place finish at the NCAA Athens Regional out in Georgia, the Michigan State women's golf team advanced to the 2017 NCAA National Championships. Hats off to Stacey Slobotnik-Stoll and her squad. The Spartans shot a 3 over par 291 in yesterday's final round and finished the tournament 8 over par in 872, marking the program's lowest score at an NCAA Regional. The third-place finish is also tied for the Spartans' best at an NCAA regional. The top 6 teams from each of the 4 regionals in Athens, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Columbus, Ohio, and Lubbock, Texas qualify for the NCAA championships, which will be May 19th to the 24th at Rich Harvest Farms in Sugar Grove, Illinois. Very cool stuff there, and we hope to have Stacey Slobotnik-Stoll on the show to talk about that latest accomplishment as well. All right, Michigan State baseball erupted for an 11-6 win over Eastern Michigan Wednesday at McLane Stadium here in East Lansing. The Spartans plated all their runs in 3 innings, scoring 3 in the 3rd, 5 in the 5th, and 3 more in the 6th. With the win, MSU now sits at 26-19 overall. Eastern Michigan slides to 18-31 on the season. Michigan State resumes Big Ten Conference action this weekend, heading to Lincoln, Nebraska, to play at Big Ten standings leader Nebraska on Friday through Sunday, May 12th to the 14th, in the Spartans' final league road series. Good luck to Jake Boss there. All right, the Big Ten Conference has announced its softball all-conference teams. And get this, 3 Spartans are among the postseason honorees. Those Spartans are junior Leah Forrester from Portage, Michigan, sophomore Caitlin Evelyn from Anaheim, California, and junior Mackenzie Long from Alta Loma, California. Michigan State opens the 2017 Big Ten Tournament on, I should say today, the Spartans. Get ready for it, folks, at 4:30 p.m., the Spartans sitting at a 7 seed will take on 10 seed Indiana. The winner will advance to play number 2 Michigan tomorrow. Big game there for Jackie Joseph. All right, Mark D'Antonio. He checked in at number 11 in CBS Sports' annual ranking of college football coaches. The ranking was compiled by 5 voters from the media outlet. The ranking marked a fall of 6 spots from D'Antonio's number 5 ranking from last year. That's what a 3-9 season does, folks. The top 2 coaches in the poll remain the same. Alabama's Nick Saban at number 1 and Ohio State's Urban Meyer at number 2. Clemson's Dabo Swinney rose to take the 3 spot after winning the 2017 national title. And D'Antonio checks in 3rd among Big Ten coaches behind only Meyer and Michigan's Jim Harbaugh, who sits at number 5. All right, the Arizona Diamondbacks offense, which had been quiet during their 3-game losing streak, broke out last night, pounding out 11 hits in a 7-1 win over the Detroit Tigers at Chase Field. Matt Boyd was the starter for the Tigers last night. The Tigers, who have dropped 3 of their last 4 games, scored their only run in the 2nd inning on an RBI single by James McCann. Detroit starter Matt Boyd, again, he's 2-3. He took the loss. The Tigers open up a 4-game series against the Angels in Anaheim tonight, starting at 10:07 p.m. Get your coffee maker ready for all the baseball fans out there. Michael Fulmer is slated to be on the mound for the Tigers against J.C. Ramirez in a battle of righties. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Be a part of our show. like most of you know out there, by simply picking up the phone and dialing 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. If you're a bit shy or you can't phone in, simply comment via our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet us at WKAR_sports at Al Martin WKAR. That wraps up your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners, a jam-packed show. Let's get to it.
Chances to score. Didn't do it, and make up on mistakes and it cost us.
Do you feel like they had a little more urgency than you did in this one?
I don't think the urgency was there. Like I said, we had the goals we can win the game. And, also blame on us. And, it's hard to say what I know. The feelings is it's not there.
Well, you had that chance in the second period and some of the shaft those stick. Is this kind of sum up the frustration?
No, we still have lots of chances, obviously.
Why wasn't the urgency there?
No, we're just always there. Like I said, we're just being executed to our chances, especially in the second.
Alex, can you keep the faith that
I'm trying. Yeah. Try to do our best. All right, thank you.
Yes, and that is how we start this Thursday afternoon version of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We are so honored you've allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. What you just heard there was, of course, the voice of Alex Ovechkin. And I found myself, and this is probably the first time this has happened this postseason, folks, when it comes to the NBA playoffs, I found myself turning from last night's Washington Wizards and Boston Celtics game. And I actually put on some NHL playoff action, folks, which you can make an argument. You can make the argument that the NHL playoffs have certainly been more exciting than the NBA playoffs, all right? Last night, I tuned in to watch Pittsburgh in Game 7 action. There is, I don't care what you say, but there is really nothing like Game 7 of the NHL playoffs. I watched some of that game last night, Pittsburgh and Washington. The Capitals falling to the Penguins. 2-0. Pitt wins that series, of course, 4-3 to move on to the Eastern Conference Finals in the NHL playoffs. Intriguing game on multiple levels. Again, it's a Game 7, right? You knew it was going to be some drama. You knew it was going to be high action, high octane. And now, of course, Pittsburgh will move on to play the Ottawa Senators for a chance at a Stanley Cup berth. And how about the NHL Cinderella this season, the Nashville Predators moving on to play now the Anaheim Ducks on the other side for a possible bid also to, of course, play in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So I want to pose a question to you all, though, because it's been so frustrating watching the NBA playoffs, folks. I mean, it's just been blowout after blowout after blowout. And last night, again, was a blowout. as the Boston Celtics came to play. Washington didn't even enter the building. It was just a bad night for Washington professional sports, with the exception of the Washington Nationals, who actually snapped a season-high three-game losing streak against the Baltimore Orioles. But when you look at what took place between the Capitals and also the Wizards, most of Washington right now is not going to work happy. But I want to pose the question to you out there because, we have a listenership here that varies and a fandom that varies depending on the person, right? I mean, a lot of you are glued into the NHL playoffs over the NBA playoffs right now, while we do have some hardcore basketball fans who are still glued in each and every night to watch what is going to take place in the NBA playoffs. And I feel like the majority of NBA fans out there are like me. I wish I could hit a fast forward button right now and just fast forward to the NBA Finals. We all know who's going to be there, right? The Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors, because these games right now are just ho-hum every single night. Not fun to watch. So, again, yeah, I turned the channel to watch the Washington Capitals get eliminated by the Pittsburgh Penguins in Game 7. Again, 2-0. The final of that game last night. You just heard, and it was hard to really hear him because Alex Ovechkin, he didn't want to do the post-game press conference last night. I mean, you saw him there, sweat all over his face. He was sitting in front of an LED TV screen, which was replaying some highlights from the game. And, you look at Alex Ovechkin, it's an interesting career for him because this is yet another year in the Alex Ovechkin era where he doesn't get out of the second round, right? And you look at how that game went last night. I mean, Alex Ovechkin actually had a turnover that led to the Pens' second goal. He did not contribute a goal last night, and this is a game 7. I choked a bit when I watched the post-game presser, and one of the reporters asked Alex, why wasn't there a sense of urgency? And he says, oh, there was a sense of urgency. But the question prior to that, he says there just wasn't any urgency. He was kind of in a daze, right? He kind of contradicted himself when answering that question. But I sit there and I watched that game and said, my gosh, 2-0? And this is a Washington Capitals team that a lot of people had making it to the Stanley Cup Finals this year and possibly winning the entire thing. They had a great regular season, right? And they don't show up again. Sidney Crosby in the Pittsburgh Penguins in Game 7, Alex Ovechkin, he really had no answer for what took place last night. Did not show up whatsoever. Very, very disappointing. Again, the Caps have not gotten out of the second round of the NHL playoffs in the Ovechkin era. Crazy, right? If you look at the numbers, in 13 playoff games, Ovechkin had 5 goals and 3 assists. He skated to a -4. Against the Penguins, he had 2 goals and 3 assists, 51 shot attempts, 21 of them finding the mark. He had 32 minutes and 12 seconds of power play time, registering 2 assists, but a donut in the goals category. That can't happen. Talented player. As talented as Alex Ovechkin is, you have to show up when it matters most, that being the NHL playoffs. In the last 2 games of the series, Ovechkin did not have a point and was -3. That included a turnover in the third period in his own defensive zone. Quite embarrassing. Quite embarrassing. And that was the backbreaker, really. That led to the 2-0 final in that game. But time after time after time, I mean, the Washington professional sports fan base has to be so frustrated right now. Especially with this Capitals team. How about in 2009, right? After Game 7 against, none other than the Pittsburgh Penguins, right? Where they should have won that one. Or 2010, when the Canadiens shocked them. Or 2011, when the Tampa Bay Lightning swept them, brought out the brooms. Or those Game 7 losses to the New York Rangers in 2012 and 2013 and 2015. Or last season, deja vu all over again, losing to the Penguins in 6 games in overtime. Can't cut the mustard. So, very disappointing. And then, going back to the NBA playoffs, I mean, Boston taking a 3-2 Eastern Conference semis lead, right? I mean, where in the world was the Wizards last night, Isaac? I mean, I watched that game last night, and I'm sitting there saying, okay, this is going to get competitive at some point, right? More so, hoping that it would get competitive at some point. But nobody showed out. Nobody showed up. Nobody showed up. And I'm sitting there looking at the game. And, you know, I want to give a big shout out to Al Horford, who is a native of Grand Ledge, Michigan. One of the best ball players to come out of Mitt, Michigan. How good has Al Horford been in this year's playoffs, right? I mean, Horford's ability to distribute, play defense, score down low, and probably the most shocking thing to me is Horford's range. I mean, he has improved his jump shot tremendously. There were multiple times where Horford just rose up without hesitation from the three-point line and knocked them down time after time after time. He has been absolutely remarkable for the Boston Celtics in this playoff run thus far. I mean, it's fun to watch Al Horford do what he does, right? And I just, at the end of the day, I just believe that the Celtics wanted it more than the Wizards last night. I mean, it was so ho-hum and just so lackluster left and right. But I want to pose the question out. I mean, we look at both Washington teams falling last night, and when you compare just how horrible these games have been for the majority of the time in the NBA playoffs, and you can compare that to the NHL playoffs again, and they're two different sports. I understand that, Isaac, because you look at the NHL playoffs, you're not getting a lot of scoring, right? But the intensity is there. The hits are bigger in the NHL playoffs. However, you're not seeing LeBron James go down the lane and throw down windmill dunks and get the crowd all up in the frenzy. It can take a minute for scoring to happen in the NHL playoffs. I think I know the answer to this question when it comes to you. I don't even know if you probably watched a game this year in the NHL playoffs. I've seen two now. But how would you compare the two right now?
I've actually seen a couple of NHL games this year, including I saw when the Anaheim Ducks came back from 3-0 down, 3 minutes remaining, and then they torched, I believe it was Edmonton in the final 3 minutes of that game, got three goals back. All three were with an empty net of their own, and they just managed to keep the pressure on and finally scored with 18 seconds to level it up before sending it to double overtime where they prevailed. But Al, you know me, I'm subjective. I'm a basketball fan. I think basketball is the greatest invention, and you can throw Albert Einstein, Thomas Edison all out of that equation. Dr. James Naismith is the greatest inventor in the world's history. But
so I'm asking the wrong guy when I ask this question, of course.
No, but sometime you have to vote objectively on what is best. And NHL playoffs, this is not a new narrative. They are so entertaining. Anybody can win. We saw, what was it, back in 2011, 2012, when the LA Kings went from an 8 seed to win the Stanley Cup. That was not that long ago. In the NBA, if you get out of the first round as an 8 seed, congratulations, you have potential, then step aside for the big dogs. That's how it goes in the NBA. NBA, it's a clash of titans, and that's fun, and it's more fun when they meet in the finals. But at the same time, all up until that point, the NHL playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, There is not a better competition in sports besides that. It is back and forth. It is team versus team and each individual matchup. I think that the NHL playoffs easily trumps the NBA playoffs.
Well, you said this is the best competition in sports when you evaluate the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's what you said, quote. Because I would argue that if you look at March Madness to me, you can't get better than March Madness to me. Because you got these college basketball teams in a one-game elimination. There's so many squads.
No, I hear you. I
think the Super Bowl as well would trump that as well. And I think
the Super Bowl, though, I would not say the NFL playoffs. The Super Bowl itself would be a better spectacle and more grandiose than the NHL playoffs. But when it just comes to the playoffs themselves, I'd take the NHL playoffs over the NFL playoffs. And I would qualify my comment by saying the best pro tournament that there is.
I tell you what, if you're comparing the NBA finals to the NHL playoffs, for me, again, this is all opinion based, right?
Finals.
Right, the final. Yeah, what, the playoffs?
Are you just going
with
championships? Because I agree, I like the NBA finals more.
Oh, that's what I mean.
Okay.
Well, we're having two conversations here. Okay, when it comes to the finals, I think the NBA wins that hands down because you are taking the two best of the best from each respective conference. I mean, who is, and it would be a huge disappointment if Cleveland or Golden State don't make it to the finals. I mean, who wants to see, like, Golden State go against Boston? No offense to Boston, but everybody has been waiting the entire year. Everybody has been waiting since we saw Cleveland come back from 3-1 down to beat Golden State last season. We have been waiting for part three, okay?
We so need be the a, trilogy.
Yeah, it will be a huge disappointment if that does not happen. But yeah, if you evaluate the playoffs in general, I mean, the NBA playoffs, it's become laughable now. Like, we had the discussion not too long ago during the NBA regular season. I can't sit there and watch an NBA regular season game if I am not watching my Detroit Pistons, because if you look at some of the mid teams, the middle of the pack teams, not the creme de la creme, because you look at like the top six, right? Those teams legitimately probably have a slim shot at making it to the finals, right? But we all know that the Cavs and the Warriors are probably going to do it anyway.
The end is
clear. But if you look at the middle tier to bottom of the NBA, those squads are unwatchable, Isaac. And the NBA regular season has become so diluted now, which you got these superstars linking up left and right. What I love about the NHL playoffs is, I mean, you look at Nashville right now. Anybody can win, right? It is more so a grind. Every goal is a grind, right? Players scrapping their way to try and score left and right. I mean, and you look at the NBA, it's high scoring left and right already. I mean, so it depends on what your fandom is. I mean, if you like high scoring and you like a lot of action and fast pace, then yeah, the NBA fan will enjoy that. But if you like competitiveness, I got to go with the NHL playoffs.
Agreed.
That conversation changes, though, when you talk about the finals.
I exactly agree. I think that's an important distinction, because I think competitiveness is really the gauge for how much quality a sporting tournament has. Because if it's a bunch of blowouts, one team can be as good as they want, but at the same time, it's a comparative sport. That's what it is. If you put me against a 2-year-old in any sport, yeah, I'm going to look really good, but nobody wants to watch that. That's what this is. When it comes to the NBA playoffs, a 1 versus an 8 seed, in the NBA, let's be clear, you have a majority of teams that are making the playoffs. There are 16 teams in the playoffs. There are 30 in the league. Now, if the talent was more evenly distributed, that would be fine.
It'll be different.
But it's not. The 8 seeds every single time are squeaking in. They don't belong in that same conversation.
Right.
And you saw that when it came to even Boston versus Chicago, a 6-game series this year. Yes, but when Boston took over after the tragedy with Isaiah Thomas, once he was able to rebound, and so was the team.
Right.
They grabbed that series by the horn. They grabbed the Bulls by the horns, and they took that one over. And it's as simple as the better team wins out. Like I said, the NHL, there's a little more parity because there are
always
more players to
more
go
parity.
Through. There's always the chance that an 8 seed can even win it all. That's not the case in the NBA.
Yeah, and it turns me off, to be honest. I mean, I feel like I'm in a majority when I say, I wish we had a fast forward button right now. We are all waiting for Golden State to play Cleveland in the NBA Finals. I mean, that's inevitable right now. And again, if it doesn't happen, by some crazy stretch of the imagination, if it does not happen, it will be a big disappointment for the NBA. What do you think, though? What are you watching the most right now, the NBA playoffs or the NHL playoffs? Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Also want to push this news along to you. Of course, right now, starting today, one of my favorite golf tournaments has just gotten underway. That being the Players' Championship out in beautiful TPC Sawgrass in the Sunshine State of Florida. And right now, William McGirt has a 6-under-par lead through 16 over the field. This is how the rest of the field stacks up. Tied for second, you have J.B. Holmes and Siwoo Kim. Tied for second at 4-under. And then tied for fourth, it is a laundry list of players that I won't even, it's like a 10-way tie, or even more than that, probably like a 15-way tie for fourth place. I won't even go to list those names right now. But right now, through 16, William McGirt is 6-under par. And I want to push this news along before we get to our guest for today's Current Sports. I feel like he is, you know what? This is a catch-22 for me, Isaac, because LeVar Ball is kind of clever here. This dude finds a way to stay relevant. I will say that. You know, all this talk about his $495 shoe, every local sports talk station that I've listened to, even nationally as well, of course, nationally, they're going to eat this story up, but everyone is talking about LeVar and Lonzo Ball, more so LaVar Ball. So from that perspective, even though you may not agree with the whole $495 for his son's basketball shoe, this dude is finding a way to still brand himself and his son when it comes to this whole fiasco. I'm not the biggest fan of dude. I'm not a fan of him at all, to be honest with you. But he is finding a way to stay relevant. I feel like every other day he is in the headliners for something. And here's the latest headliner that I'm just now seeing that came across ESPN's desk at 12:45 p.m. And ESPN, they eat this stuff up, Isaac. The headliner says, quote, LaVar Ball, son, can listen to Kobe Bryant, but he's got to play his game. The headline goes on, the article goes on to read like this. Quote, LaVar Ball said he wouldn't seek any advice for his son Lonzo Ball, a top NBA draft prospect, from ex-Los Angeles Lakers great Kobe Bryant. LaVar Ball went on to say this today, quote, I don't need no advice from Kobe Bryant, Keyshawn, Jorge, and LZ. I don't need advice from Kobe. Zoe's got to play his game. He goes on to say this, quote, if they are at practice and he sees something and Lonzo listens to him or whatever, he's good. But it's just not okay. I'm talking to Kobe. So now I'm going to be good. If Kobe sees something that Zoe is doing, then go from there. But I'm not trying to pattern after nobody, end quote. It is amazing to me how everything this dude says now. First off, you see these national pundits giving LaVar Ball the platform to do so, which that's mind-boggling just in general. Yeah. But everything he says now is instantly becoming a national headline. Hate him or love him, he's finding a way to stay relevant, Isaac.
I hate him. He's an idiot, but he's an effective idiot. He is an effective idiot. That's why I would say, because he finds a way to stay in the news, and he truly understands the maxim of any publicity is good publicity. That's what he does. Yeah. And he's sold
it's
shoes.
Smart. It's
he's
smart,
moved
Isaac.
Shoes. He's sold over 5,000 pairs so far of these
trash,
these
garbage. And they haven't even been released. They're not even released yet. They don't release
ZO2s,
it. They don't release until November.
I know. And people are pre-ordering them. I'm not saying that he's helping the culture. He's hurting the culture. He's hurting his son's draft stock. But at the same time, he's making millions of dollars in the process. Like I said, he's an idiot, but he's an effective one.
I would argue the opposite. I would say that right now, in 2017, we are so gullible as a society, and we eat stories up like this so much. And the dude is smart with the way he's going about this.
I'll say this much. He does have some money to start with, and that's what I'd qualify with it. If you look at his house, if you look at what he drives, he had money to start.
Yeah.
This isn't something that you can just kickstart out of nowhere by saying stupid stuff.
Right.
You need to have the finances to back it up in the first place.
The only thing I will say, Lonzo, you got to ball out, dude. Lonzo Ball cannot be an NBA draft bust. I don't think he will be, but we've seen it happen before, folks. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with our dear friend, Joanne Gerstner, professor here at Michigan State University, sports journalist and co-author. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, if you want to be a part of our airwaves here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM, you know that number. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. It's always a fun time anytime we have her live here in Studio S. Joanne C. Gerstner is an award-winning multi-platform sports journalist, and her work appears on, of course, the New York Times, USA Today, ESPN.com, the Detroit News, the Cincinnati Inquirer, PGA Magazine, and others. Yeah, she does it all, folks. A Jackie of all trades is what I like to say, right? Gerstner has covered the biggest sporting events in the world in her career, which include the Olympics, Women's and Men's Soccer World Cups, French and U.S. Open Tennis Championships, Ryder Cup, and numerous Stanley Cup, NBA, and NCAA playoffs and championships. She has been an NBA and Olympics beat writer as well as a main features and takeout writer. She has taught classes and delivered guest lectures at Oakland University, Central Michigan University, the University of Michigan, University of Detroit Mercy, Wayne State University, Northwestern University, and Penn State University, and is a graduate of OU, Oakland University, and the prestigious Medill School of Journalism at NU. Joanne Gerstner, welcome to Current Sports. What an intro, right?
I don't know if I can live up to that.
And you know what? What's so funny? I got the bulk of that intro off of the College of Communication Arts and Sciences website because, Joanne, a big congratulations on behalf of us all here at Current Sports. We saw that you were honored with an award from the college. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, I was really moved. I was shocked. It's the Faculty Impact Award, and what made it so special was you're nominated by your students.
Right.
So, and the irony was when I got the award, when they told me I won, they came into the classroom. I was actually having an active discussion with my students about the things they were doing wrong. So it's like,
what a way to do it, right?
Never mind. So yeah, it was great. It was great, and it was very moving.
So that's how you got the news then, when you
were
in the middle.
That's how I got the news. Yeah, Dean Prabhu, popped in with Dr. Davenport with balloons, and we're all like having like a showdown over writing. And hey, what? So
wow.
It was great.
So cool. And I saw pictures of you at the podium giving a speech to those in attendance to witness you getting that honor. I mean, what was that like for you standing amongst all of your peers and people that you have impacted, students you've impacted? And what did you say to them?
Again, it was like kind of surreal because, I've only been here at Michigan State for 3 years.
Right.
So, I mean, there's people that have spent, wonderful careers here and have had wonderful legacies. And I think they should get it too. So for me to stand up there as a relative newbie to get it was great. And I gave a little bit of a little discussion, which you could in 5 minutes, about the state of journalism and how we need to be responsible in turning out tomorrow's journalists, but also guard the house against those that wish to tear us down and discredit us and, the whole fake news thing. And, I could tell that some people really enjoyed it. And, we are turning out great journalists here at Michigan State, like you, across the platforms. And, the discrediting of us by what we do for what we do, because we're telling the truth, we need to fight back. And I think we are.
Joanne, in the intro, I kind of went through the various amounts of coverages that you have had throughout your career and continue to have throughout your career. And I want to briefly, you talk about the state of journalism today. I briefly want to get your take on startling news that took place, I believe now just about 2 weeks ago, when it comes to the mothership is what Dan Patrick calls it. ESPN letting go 100 employees, 60 to 70 of those employees on-air talent.
Mm-hmm.
Why has this happened, and how did we get here?
Well, it's funny that you bring this up. I just came back from Texas. I was actually at the Association for Women in Sports Media's annual gathering, and it's basically all of us women in the industry,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of them work for ESPN. So that came up. So like Jemele Hill was there, Carrie Champion, Linda Cohn. We had some interesting discussions because they're obviously shell-shocked themselves. I mean, to lose a lot of great people is hard, but what people don't realize is ESPN has been laying people off for the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, just because you lost a face that you saw on television doesn't mean there hasn't been hundreds of people laid off behind the camera. And there are several reasons. Number one, there's a lot of consolidation going on with ESPN. They used to be siloed. TV was separate from .com, was separate from radio, was separate. So they might have three reporters covering the NBA all doing the same thing. And now that everything is going multi-platform, they're like, well, if you can write, do a podcast, appear on a radio hit, and do something for SportsCenter, we're going to make you the NBA person and not keep three redundant people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can argue that we shouldn't say that people are redundant, that they each bring unique skills and all that other stuff, but that's the financial determination they made. And then the other thing, too, is a lot of these people were on contracts, so either two-year contracts, three-year contracts, so they're just choosing not to renew their contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew this was coming. Some of these people knew it was coming, but others had no idea, and they're really hurt, and they're not sure where to go because ESPN was their home for a long time. So the people that are left at ESPN are really, they're hurt. Then, but they're vowing to make things, you know, as great as they can. And, you know, everything we've read about, you know, the rights being so expensive for all the stuff and, you know, it's the cord cutting. I mean, so there's a lot of elements that are going on. But, you know, when I was talking to someone who works behind the scenes, she's like, you know, it's great that we're all mourning the faces that we know on television. But she says, last year, I was mourning the 300 people we let go behind the scenes.
Exactly.
The producers, the camera operators, the directors, the people that literally make the machine go. And, you know, it's, I hate to say it, it's corporate America.
And you mentioned some of the names who are fortunately still employed there. MSU alum Jemele Hill, Kerry Champion, Linda Cohn. What has their reaction been like? Did you guys even touch that base when the students met with them?
We did. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
No, it was.
So they were pretty open about it.
Well, they were. I mean, it's the elephant in the room. Like, you know, we're going to drop it. We're going to talk about it because you know it. We know it. Let's deal with it. And you know, the reality is, you know, everyone's been through layoffs. No matter what industry you work in the last 10 years, has been layoffs. I mean, when I used to be at the Detroit News, we had layoff after layoff after layoff. My brother was laid off from working for Saturn, and he was on the marketing side. So it hurts more when it's in your neighborhood. And I think ESPN is such a sterling brand. It's, you know, it's like the Death Star, jokingly. It's like it just keeps moving. Well, as we all know, Death Star had a flaw and it blew up.
Yeah, so, that's true.
So we got to get real about it. But they're hopeful that these cuts will help, you know, make them stronger so then they can maybe go back and hire people. Mm-hmm. And the people that were let go were extremely talented and well thought of. So hopefully they can land on their feet. And from what I heard, the severance packages were generous. So they can definitely, you know, live with health insurance, you know, for whatever term they have it for. So it's awful, but hopefully it's not the end of the road for these people.
Before we dive into, of course, your book, and also, of course, the center foundation of this conversation I want to be, Joanne, is what we talked about before we took the air today, and that being talking to students out there, talking to youth athletes, talking to parents out there as well about the lack of concussion protocol when it comes to summer youth sports. Mm-hmm. Final question, though, when it comes to this whole ESPN thing, where do you see ESPN going now when it comes to its programming? Because a lot of people say that they have failed to really capitalize on the digital presence, right? They've lost over 11 million subscribers, Joanne, in the last 3 years alone. Will we see an increased presence when it comes to ESPN online?
Oh, absolutely. I think they're developing their own form of like Hulu, Netflix type of thing. Like
are they?
The skinny bundle, you know, however you want to put it.
Right.
You know, look, a lot of things have happened. You know, SportsCenter was ahead of the game. Now, SportsCenter is almost obsolete. I mean, if you want to see highlights, you're just going to pick up your phone and punch it in. If you want to watch Alexander Ovechkin's 3 goals, you're going to go. You don't need to go to SportsCenter. So they're going to more opinion-driven, personality-driven programming. So that's like the Scott Van Pelt or Jemele SportsCenter, things like that. That's very risky because you're betting the house on that people are going to like that form and not actually care that much about sports because they dive more into pop culture and kind of the nexus of entertainment and sports and even politics. And I don't think they have a read yet if that is what's going to dig them out, but that's the way they're betting. And you can kind of argue on the other side, it's kind of like the reality showization of sports that, you know, we can't rely on showing you highlights that maybe people want things in their own way, either delivered to their phone or on Snapchat or other things. There's too many alternatives. They don't have the monopoly. So going digital is huge. They're very big into podcasting. A lot of people are betting the farm on podcasting. But again, that's super niche. You are never going to... The best explanation I had was there's still only one pie in the middle of the table.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of making 3 big slices like we used to have for NBC, CBS, and ABC,
Right. We're
now making thousands of micro slices. And you're never going to capture the whole thing, but if you can get as many little pieces of the pie as possible, you can then kind of capture your own form of the market. But the whole business model is changing.
Yeah.
And nobody knows. I mean, if anyone tells you they know where this is all going, they're either lying or a genius. And we're only going to know that on the backside. So
True. The industry is so saturated now, Joanne, that we just don't know. A lot of question marks out there, right?
Absolutely.
If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Professor here at Michigan State University, and also sports journalist and co-author of Back in the Game, Why Concussion Does Not Have to End Your Athletic Career, Joanne Gerstner. Joanne, let's dive into, of course, Back in the Game. We had you when this book first came out, the week, I believe, that it came out.
Yep.
What's this whole book tour been like for you? Where have you been, and how are the sales going? Give us an update.
It's going really well. We've been all over the country, a lot here, obviously, in mid-Michigan and in Detroit. We'll be up north in June, and so literally we have something going on every month. And we've talked to a lot of high schools, Birmingham High School, a lot of high schools in Detroit, having town halls with parents and coaches. And it's been fascinating to be there because they have a ton of questions, don't know who to ask, don't know where to go. Mm-hmm. And so to have a safe forum where you can literally let them say whatever they need to say without worrying about, you know, the politics of it, like, oh, I don't want to be labeled as that parent, or I don't want anyone to know my kid has a concussion. All that, we set all that to the side. Like, we're here for you. Ask away. And the most powerful thing we've learned is a lot of parents are really scared.
Are they?
Really scared.
I can imagine, right.
And most of the ones that are scared, their kids have never had a concussion. They're preemptively frightened. The parents, their kids have had a concussion. They're more concerned about how to prevent it in the future. Or we've had questions. One dad was hilarious. His daughter's 8 years old, and he wanted to know if there was a physical training regimen he should put her on to strengthen her core and her neck to make her stronger to withstand collisions in field hockey. And I'm like, wow. We're like imagining like, you know, Rocky III, was it? Like,
right?
You know, going,
yeah.
Going up in the Russian woods, the kid, like, you know, lifting hay bales.
Right,
and all
right. Lifting like a bark of a tree,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no. Tires and stuff. But I appreciate that he was trying to think ahead of how to protect her. And the biggest point that we want to make is it's not one size fits all. That just because you think you know what a concussion is, that might not be how your child presents when they're injured. And then furthermore, you need to be smart enough to have a dialogue with your coaching staff, or if you are the coach, have a dialogue with the parents you're working with before anything happens to make it clear how things should happen. Because in the heat of the moment, you're not going to be able to go to a clipboard and go step by step by step. You're going to need to know what's going on because you thought about it beforehand. And a lot of places don't do that.
Joanne, it's a remarkable piece of work. Of course, you co-authored this book with Dr. Jeff Kutcher. Mm-hmm. And Jeff is a remarkable mind in his own right as well. I'm curious, though, when you put out a piece of work like this, Joanne, and, you know, it's been a few months now to kind of reminisce and kind of look back at how you put it together. Is there anything that you wish you would have put in here that you didn't think about at all? I'm curious.
Well, the field is constantly changing. So every day there's a new paper, there's a new finding. Since the book came out, late last fall, they've had a new consensus statement. Basically, all the world's neurologists got together, and they get together every 4 years and issued like the guidelines. Like, hey, this is what we know. We're going to update what we know so you can better disseminate it for doctors, trainers, emergency rooms, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That just came out literally 2 weeks ago. So that would have been a great addition for this, but obviously we didn't know it yet.
Of course.
But you can go through every consensus statement, and there's now been four of them, and you can read them and really see the evolution of what we know and how we approach concussion. I mean, each one is a dramatic leap forward. And what's wonderful is it's truly a global thing. Dr. Kutcher was there. It was in Berlin last, I think, I want to say probably November. It was close to winter.
Okay.
And they put all these guys in a room, like 100, 200, 300 of them, and they hash it out.
Wow, like this, that's, you know, a lot,
like, I'm
of
from
people.
Yeah, well, they have like a committee of like 10, but everyone gives input. And they're like, hey, I'm from New Zealand. This is what I think. I'm from Canada. This is what I think. So it's literally the world's best minds of people that work in the area of sport and treat, you know, athletes with concussions. So this is pretty much where we're at. And the way we've evolved is that the consensus statement says, and again, it's a long thing, so I'm super, super summarizing it.
Yeah.
But basically, if you're concussed, they want you getting back to light activity as soon as possible. They used to keep people like, hey, go home, be in the dark room, stay there for a couple of weeks, and we'll see you when you feel better.
No physical activity, nothing. Right.
They shut you down. I mean, the joke is called the mushroom treatment. Like, they turned you into a mushroom in a dark room. And they're now finding out that actually leads to worse outcomes. You get sicker instead of better.
Why is that?
Well, because you're away from your routine. You know, if I put you to bed bed for 2 weeks and said, Al, don't do anything, don't talk to anyone, you're going to feel cruddy.
From an emotional standpoint, then,
everything.
Right?
Well, everything. Because, you know, it's kind of those things when you have the flu, at some point you have to get up and get going because you're getting sick from being in bed. That's kind of how this is. If you think of the brain, it's stimuli. You know, we just being part of the world. If you get locked in and closed in socially and emotionally and everything else, that's not going to make you feel like you are getting better.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big development that we're now encouraging people. And also the use of baseline testing in that. That's a big thing being pushed by a lot of schools. Like, hey, everyone get tested and it's perfect and we're going to know what your brain's like. Well, a baseline test is only a snapshot of what your brain, how your brain performed at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday when you took it.
Right.
You might be different 2 hours later. I mean, it depends if you're hungry, tired, excited, had a fight with your mom, you know, are all excited that Drake has a new song that you found. I mean, that can all affect what's going on
right.
in your brain. So when you get hurt or, you know, if they're suspecting you of having a concussion 5 months later, what's the relationship between that finding of, quote, a baseline versus what you are at that point? It's a guess.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
But a lot of people have made it out like, I have a baseline test, therefore it's like the Ten Commandments. I have the tablet. This is your brain.
No, it's constantly changing.
It's not that simple.
Not
I wish
simple.
It was.
It's complex,
it'd be
right.
Great. It'd be great. And
right.
I think we're getting to the point in a society where we're finally accepting that concussion is a fluid injury,
mm-hmm.
that we all present differently. We all heal on different schedules. And the bottom line is it's not something to be shaken off. That whole joke of, hey, you know, I got knocked to the head or, you know, I played through it or, you know, you hear the war stories from the old NFL guys. Oh, I was so dizzy. I saw four people. So I hit the one in the middle.
Yeah, you're right. That's,
you know,
those days are gone.
That's
we can't,
not cute. It's
no,
not cute.
Not at all.
And it's kind of funny when you talk to the old school and they talk that way. That's their generation. You can hear it. But if you talk to the guys that are playing today, from the pros on down, they know. So that's where we're making the progress. Like, hey, you know, Ulster, that's cool. All respect, all love, but that's not how I'm going to approach my brain health. I'm hurt. I'm getting out because guess what? I want to prolong my career, but I also want to have a good life after I'm done playing.
And that is the right way to approach it. Joanne, let's hit let's hit our final break. When we come back, I want you to kind of warn parents about concussion protocol when it comes to youth sports mm-hmm. during the summertime. We'll be
Absolutely.
Right back, folks. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We are chatting with Joanne Gerstner, one of our favorite guests we have here on Current Sports, professor here at MSU, sports journalist and co-author as well of Back in the Game, Why a Concussion Doesn't Have to End Your Athletic Career. Joanne, to close out this chat and to close out our hour here on AM 870 94.5 FM, I want you to talk to parents out there as well as young athletes and kind of warn them about how things really change after the high school sporting season is done, because concussion protocol during the high school year is totally different when the weather gets nice outside, right?
Yeah, in general, I mean, just think about, you know, having informal practices or, you know, the guys getting together to hoop it up or throw it around. Well, you might be competing at almost the same level of aggression, but where's the coach? Where's the athletic trainer? Where's the framework to help you if you get hurt? So there's that situation where athletes need to really be honest and take care of each other and say, hey, you know what, you look a little loopy. And the other thing, too, is a big factor in concussions can be dehydration. That if you're dehydrated, you're more prone, they've shown through a lot of research, that you can get concussed easier because your brain doesn't have enough fluid and, you know, all the stuff is sloshing around in your head. The more
makes
fluid
sense.
You have, yeah, it makes complete sense.
Right.
So summer, hot, dehydrated. And, you know, think about it. When you're a kid, hey, I'll slurp down a couple of Cokes. I'm hydrated, right? You know, so you got some ignorance going on, so it's cool. It's
yeah.
cool. But, you know, there's other things, too, going on, you know, depending on the formality of what your kid's doing. So if you're, like, in a little league or something a little more established and codified, they probably do have some sort of concussion protocol. But if you're just in the church rec league and you're the dad or the mom coaching the 6-year-old soccer team and they're cute and what a big deal, they can get concussions too. So there's places they don't even think it can happen. Diving at the pool, you know, things like that. So once we get outside of the protective bubble of things being organized and, you know, the systems that are in place of coaches being trained and having athletic trainers, then it's basically on the parents and the athletes and the volunteer coaches to really then pick up the slack.
So do we see those numbers go up in the summertime then, Joanne, when it comes to kids? I don't know if you could even keep track of that, because a lot of it is unregulated, as you said.
Anecdotally, I'd say yes, because a lot of times we're more active in the summer. So just, you know, the goofiness of falling off your bike or climbing a tree. So it's kind of hard to separate that out. But I wouldn't be surprised if you actually did that would show. Because, you know, think about it. Kids now are playing sports year-round. And the summer, for a lot of kids, you know, if you're an ice hockey player, you do power skating, you know, so you're never off. So having, as a parent, be proactive. Talk to your coach or the league or whoever's in charge before the season starts and say, I'm just curious. If you suspect someone has a concussion, what do you do? And if they can't give you a good answer, don't be in that league.
Great advice. Joanne, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. You were outstanding as always.
Thank you, sir.
If folks want to pick up this piece of work, how can they do so?
Back in the Game is available on Amazon. Locally here in Lansing, it's also at Schuller's Books.
All right. Well, Isaac, we got about, 3 minutes left in the show? A brief Throwback Thursday I think we have time for. Let's hit it.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman back over his stick. Into the spot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right. A brief Throwback Thursday for you, as we have exactly 90 seconds left here in the show. So what exactly took place on this particular date in sports history? It is May 11th. On this day back in 1977, Ted Turner managed an Atlanta Braves game. How cool is that, right? In 1983, President Reagan signed a proclamation saying, making May National Amateur Baseball Month. In 1996, Al Leiter threw the first no-hitter in Florida Marlins history. And on this day, back in 2015, get this, the NFL announced that Tom Brady will be suspended without pay for the first 4 regular season games of the 2015-16 season. The suspension was for violation of the NFL policy on integrity of the game due to, of course, Deflategate. On this day back in 2015, that happened, Isaac. How crazy is that?
We can't get away from it, can it?
We can't get away. We would choose the only Throwback Thursday that encompasses that moment, right? All right, folks. It's been a great one. We hope to see you same time, same place on tomorrow's Current Sports. We'll be chatting with James Moore, former Michigan State fullback. Great. It will be the second edition, I should say, of his Swap Meet. Don't miss it, folks. Another inspirational message from him. Take care, and as always, be easy, people.